Hey guys, Brandon Dawson here from the Tribe of Christians. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. Today's date is officially Friday, March 8, 2024. So we are living in the most unique time in all of history, and not just a unique time in our present current world history, but also in one of the most unique time in all of the biblical prophetic history, the most unique time on the prophetic timeline. We are in very exciting times, a very exciting time to be alive as a Christian in the body of Christ in this particular age. So many things are happening and very major critical prophetic events are taking place and unfolding right now as we speak. So with this, we have had a lot of things happening. If we go back to September of 2023, we had a second emergence, a second reoccurrence of the September Revelation 12 sign. So if you guys will remember back September 23rd, 2017, there was what they deemed and called the Revelation 12 sign, as you would expect, a direct reference to Revelation chapter 12. It appeared in the constellations in the skies above. Now, there was a second occurrence of that occurring just this past September. If you guys are not aware of it, it was very interesting and even more specific than the last occurrence. Now, the very next month afterwards, right, October of 2024, some major things happening. First, we had the war breaking out in Israel on the 50th anniversary of the 1973 Yom Kippur War. Now, those of you guys who are very aware, the number 50 representing the Jubilee, the Yom Kippur in itself representing the Day of Atonement, one of the most holiest days in all of the Jewish Hebrew calendar. Major events happening with that, very prophetic, significant. And then, so after a week after that war broke out, a major significant thing happened. We had a solar eclipse occur over the United States. Now, the eclipse that occurred was not a full, complete solar eclipse. It was a partial eclipse, and what they called the Ring of Fire. But the fact that it happened exactly 1 week, 7 days from the Hamas attacks, was also very significant. Now, fast forward, we have a third solar eclipse that will occur on April 8th, 2024. We've published a video just on that about the Jonah eclipse, because on Nisan 1, which is actually the first day, the first month of the Hebrew New Year, when the Hebrew calendar starts over and starts a new year, we'll be on Nisan 1, which is April 9th, the day after the eclipse. So if you follow from Nisan 1 all the way to Pentecost Sunday, you have 40 days. So we are calling it the 40-day Jonah eclipse that will occur over the United States. And then, of course, some major, very, very major prophetic signs in these eclipses that occur over the nation. We're in a presidential election cycle as well for 2024. We're also been dealing with the Hebrew year 5784, which is the Dalet, represents a door, a doorway. You know, Jesus said, I stand at the door knocking, ready. So we have, and then the Tav and the eclipse as well. So you have the Aleph and Tav, the Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. So, and then also since the first time since World War II, we have major war that is occurring in Europe with Russia and Ukraine. So we have wars and rumors of wars. We have the Joel, the prophetic signs of Joel, dealing with the blood moons, the solar eclipses. Lots of things are happening. So naturally, people are talking about the rapture, because that might very well be the very next thing that occurs on the timeline, and it can occur at any moment. So people are talking about the rapture, especially in reference to the feast, the Hebrew Jewish feasts that are occurring and in the timeline. So is the rapture going to occur in 2024 or by the end of 2024? I'm going to answer that question for you. Now, first, right off the bat, before we get too far into the video, I just want to say, now, number one, this is not a rapture date setting video. I'm not going to set a specific date and say this is exactly when the rapture is going to occur, because the Bible and Jesus is very clear that no man knows the day, time, or hour when the rapture is going to occur or happen. However, Jesus did tell us give us signs that we would be able to recognize and know the season of the fulfillment of these events, and when the tribulation would come and all these events would happen, we would recognize the season. So I am going to give you, reveal some very specific information that has been revealed to me through a series of dreams and revelations about when I believe that season is going to occur and how much time we have left. My best guess, estimate, and perspective, how much time I think we have left until the rapture or tribulation period begins. So, but then again, as I want to reiterate, this is not a date setting video to say specifically. Now, point number two, I need to get this across, is that this is also not a rapture theology teaching video, meaning this video is not specifically about the teachings and the comparisons between when the rapture will occur, right? Pre-tribulation, mid-trib, or post-trib, all that stuff. Not really getting into all that stuff. So I'm just going to ask that you guys would be respectful in your opinions and perspectives towards others in your difference of opinions or perspectives. So that being said, we're going to get right into the video. So I have had several years back, I don't remember the exact date per se. It is published on our site. I'm just going to have to go back and check the exact date when it happened. But I don't remember exactly, but I do know that I published a dream a while back about the rapture. Now, in all of my life, I've never really had a rapture dream. I've never had dreamed anything anywhere remotely close to the rapture. I have only had one dream about the rapture, and it happened not that long ago. And in that dream, the Lord revealed to me the very nature of how it happens, the nature of it, the circumstances, the context that surrounds the rapture, how it happens in the world, how they respond to the rapture, what they say happened, and whatnot. So I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to reveal that dream, those aspects, what I saw, how the rapture occurs. And then secondly, I had a video that I published not that long ago where I had, through dream, I had a revelation and a vision about the tribulation period, specifically the very beginning of the tribulation period, how it begins, how everything starts. And the Lord revealed to me also the very identities, the very specific identities of who the two witnesses are. Now, in that dream, now I did not reveal this publicly and on video or anything like that. I have not told anybody about this other than some people very close to me. But in that dream, I had a family member that was present in that vision. And this family member is someone who is very, very close to me. We speak on a regular basis. And so in this vision about the tribulation period, I saw how old this person was at the time of when the tribulation period begins. So I don't know exactly the exact age, but I had a good estimate of how old this person was. So this gave me an idea of approximately how much time that we have left until the tribulation period begins. So I'm also going to reveal to you what was revealed to me in that dream, how much time that we have left, depending on which comes from my perspective and how I saw this dream, this vision occur, how I experienced it. So again, I'm going to be sharing this from my own personal perspective as it was revealed to me. So that being said, I'm not saying that this is set in stone. This is the exact nature and everything behind it, because dreams can be viewed differently depending on the person's perspective and how the Lord reveals it. So what I encountered, how I saw, how I interpreted it, maybe completely different than how someone else saw it. And so just keep that in mind when I share this and getting into the video message. So, okay. So is the rapture going to occur in 2024? I'm going to answer that for you. When do I think it's going to occur? I'm going to answer that as well. So I'm going to get into the dream first, talk about the rapture dream, then I'll get into the timing specifics afterwards. So in this rapture dream, in the vision, I was asleep when it happened. And when the dream occurred, I was fully consciously aware. I had full sense of of consciousness. I can see, smell, taste, hear, all of that. I had full color. My full thought process was there. So this was a vision. It occurred while I was asleep. Now, when the vision began, I woke up. I was in my room and I was in my bed. And there was a massive storm that was occurring and it was happening outside. I could sense it, hear it, and feel it. There was a major storm happening, and I could hear the winds blowing. My windows were shaking. My house was vibrating from the storm that was occurring. And also, I don't know why, but I got a sense that I could see the ocean and the waves roaring and things like that. So I know in the Bible, we know that a storm, the seas raging, the ocean raging, a storm is in reference to tribulation. The ocean in itself is a reference in Revelation 17 dealing with Mystery Babylon, when all the various peoples, nations, and multitudes are represented by the sea, because the Bible tells us the beast, the Antichrist, false prophet, the beast rises out of the sea, false prophet rising out of the land, but the sea having to deal with nations, Gentile nations, and multitudes of people, and the sea also representing tribulation, because the Bible also says that people will have fear from the tossing and roaring of the seas, of the waves, for what is coming upon the earth. So we know, again, storms and the ocean, the seas, the waves, is in reference to tribulations. So right off the bat, there's a storm taking place. I can sense the sheer force of the storm occurring. While the storm is occurring, right, I don't know how, but I could just see it. There was a massive lightning bolt that occurred. Huge, unlike any other lightning bolt I had ever known or experienced or felt in my entire life. This lightning bolt shoots and rips across the sky. And I have I've just felt like that this lightning bolt, this storm was all over the earth, is what it felt like. This lightning bolt shot across the sky, and it sent a massive shockwave, a sound concussion, and result of this lightning bolt throughout the entire earth, is what it really felt like. The whole earth just shook, and there was massive earthquakes as a result of this lightning bolt that had shot across the sky. Now, there was certain elements in this vision that there were certain exceptions that were made. I don't know how to explain it. I just know how it occurred. Now, in the vision, I had an understanding, a divine revelation, a knowledge, if you will say, that of certain spiritual aspects, and I just knew that it was the rapture had occurring. It was occurring, and there was a trumpet sound, just as if as it's mentioned, there was a long blast trumpet sound. It sounded three times as soon as this lightning bolt began. Now, what was really interesting is that the rest of the world was on regular time, you know, and it happened so fast, extremely quickly, you know, just bam, blink of an eye. But to the church, right, to the remnant church, to Christians, and it's very important that I say that, and I'll explain in a minute why, but to the church and specific Christians who are truly in Christ, the remnant church, the remnant Christians, those who are really in Him and had a sixth sense. All of their senses were alerted. And they were it's like all the gifts were activated, and they could see what no one else could see. They could hear, see, sense, had this additional spiritual gift to them, and they could hear the trumpet, and they could see Jesus and hear the call being given about the rapture, and no one else could see or hear or sense. And when it happened, it was like all time slowed down, just completely stopped. So the trumpet sounds, immediately I sensed and felt the warning. It was like a warning call, and almost kind of like a dinner call when they would ring the bell. So, you know, back in the olden days, it was to get everyone's attention. Once they had the attention, you just knew something was activated, and you knew it was time to go. All time had stopped and slowed down. And when this happened, again, it happened at this sound of this lightning bolt, this concussion that sent shockwaves throughout the earth. Massive earthquakes were happening all over the earth. I don't know if it was like one major earthquake or just a series of earthquakes. I don't know. But it was very similar to what happened at the time of Jesus's crucifixion. When Jesus was on the cross, when he said it was finished, and that massive earthquake occurred, and it split the veil in half, and the graves were opened up. And that was at the account of the very first resurrection, because the Bible tells us in the Gospels that the dead had actually risen out of the graves, had actually appeared to people and testified about Jesus until they were taken up into heaven along with Jesus, on the third day, I don't know if it happened on the third day, but the first day. Okay, so the first day when Jesus was crucified, that earthquake happened. So that is exactly what happened, right? This lightning bolt happens, the trumpet sounds, this earthquake happens, graves are opened up, and people are literally resurrected out of the graves and right where they are, and they're caught up into heaven with the Lord, and the sky completely shuts and it closes. Now, something else I want to mention that just prior leading up to the lightning bolt and what happened, there was a sense of darkness, a sense of dread that encroached over the earth and over me, but I just knew, I can sense it personally and I can sense it around the world. There was a sense of imminent darkness, this cloud coming over the earth, that something was about to happen. So that was the feeling right before it happened. Now, we know in scripture, when God appeared to the Israelites in the events of the Exodus story, right, on Mount Sinai, with the volcanic eruptions happening and everything, there was a black, dark cloud that hovered over the area, and the people were terrified. Well, it was that feeling, that sense of dread. If you go back to the book of Job, in the book of Job, it says that God spoke to Job from out of the storm. So there is this presence of dread, of darkness. Even though God is not darkness, it was a covering, a veil that happened to cover up. So afterwards it happened, and I want to explain what happened to the bodies, what happened to the clothing, that type of thing. So for those of you guys who are familiar with the Rapture movies, the Left Behind movies, right? In those movies, they portrayed the Rapture. When it happens, that clothing is left behind, jewelry is left behind, whatnot, all that stuff. Well, when it happened, nothing was actually, in fact, left behind. And what happened was, as the bodies were being resurrected, being transported up, and there was a transformation that instantly took place. And they transformed into their eternal celestial bodies as they were caught up. And it happened so fast, this transformation that took place. It was like almost like a fire that went out. And it disintegrated all the clothing and all the material things that person was wearing. Rather, if it was medical devices like pacemakers or maybe the certain medical pins or rods that are in the body, whatever, everything just completely disintegrated at the moment of the rapture happened, at that moment of the transformation that took place. It was so fast. And I don't know if maybe it was because of the speed of it, how fast it happened, if there was actual physics involved with that, and the speed is what caused everything to burn up, or I don't know. All I know is that all the clothing articles, everything completely disintegrated right then and there as it happened. So nothing was left behind. So in other words, there was no evidence that a rapture occurred in the first place. Now, I'm going to get into this in just a moment about what was happening in the world as this happened. There was, as it was happening, the Gog and Magog war was beginning to launch and take place in Israel. So the rapture happens at the commencement of the Gog and Magog war. So just know that. So you have this massive military event happening. You have this massive storm taking place, the lightning bolt, this earthquake that takes place. All of that is happening. And so afterwards, nothing was left behind. And something I need to point out here was that a lot of people didn't even realize or know that the rapture had even taken place or happened, because it might surprise you guys, but there were thousands of churches that were left behind, thousands of Christians, millions that were left behind that did not go. So it was no one had any suspicion that the rapture had even occurred in the first place. So there are all these churches and Christians were left behind, and so no one thought anything of it. Well, the rapture couldn't have happened because look at all these churches that are still here, all these Christians. No one thought anything of it. So there was no suspicion whatsoever that the rapture had occurred. And so after it happened, right, we had this war happening over in Israel, and the explanation that was given, people believe that they say the world's going to blame it on aliens, on UFOs, on some sort of military attack, whatever the case be, people are going to blame it on that stuff. That's not how I saw it. That's not how I perceived it. So I don't believe that that's what is going to happen. What I saw happening was the world explained it through this, almost like climate change, so to speak. They blamed it on this massive storm that occurred, on this freak massive storm, which caused this earthquake to happen. And so they blamed that on the deaths, the people that had died or disappeared. And that's how they explained it. So when it happened, we had things that were also commencing and happening over in Israel with the Gog and Magog war actually commencing and taking place. So these events happened at the same time. The rapture happens at the war of Gog and Magog. That's when it occurs. Now, all that being said, I'm going to get into the second part, the second aspect of this, some timelines revealing when I believe the rapture will occur, when this war takes place, when the tribulation period, I believe, is going to take place. Because as I mentioned, there were certain things that were revealed to me, some kind of key, some clues, if you will say. So a while back, again, I did a video about the two witnesses. I had a dream, had a vision, where I was in person, and the Lord took me to Jerusalem, to Israel, and I officially met the two witnesses. Their names were revealed to me, and I saw from the very beginning how the entire tribulation period starts, how it begins, and when the two witnesses appear. So it starts after the events of the Gog and Magog war. After all that happens, there are massive signs, and actually even leading up to the war of Gog and Magog, there are all these massive signs that begin to appear in the sky, including the star, the Bethlehem star, or the star where Jesus that signaled the birth of Christ. So there were all these signs appearing in the heavens and with these stars, and all the major world religions were interpreting these signs as the arrival of the Messiah. So the Catholic Church was here. All the Christians and all the churches were still talking about the rapture coming. They were still talking about the second coming. They had no idea that it had already happened. So they were speaking of the arrival of the Messiah. The Jews interpreted it to mean the Messiah was coming. And really these signs were evident of the second coming of Jesus, but they were paving the way for the rise of the Antichrist, the beast that rises out of the sea. There were massive festivals, massive parades, all these things were being held in the streets. And it wasn't just the Catholics and the Christians, the Muslims, the Jews, even the Far Eastern religions, getting into Hindus and Buddhists, all of them were celebrating the arrival of this Messiah. And they were all in agreement that this Messiah had come. Now, the Messiah had not been revealed. The name had not been revealed yet, but he was here. And the nations and governments were celebrating this arrival. And this is when the two witnesses had arrived. Now, this is the context of Zechariah chapter 12. We know that at the conclusion of the Gog and Magog war, all these nations come and surround Jerusalem. They surround Israel to attack it. But God supernaturally defends the nation from the attack. And at that moment, that is when the two witnesses are sent. The two witnesses come. They begin to witness and testify to Israel, to the Jews, about the revelation of grace, the testimony of Jesus. And at this moment, and it's weird because there's a little bit of an overlap or a gap here of 7 months, because the land is cleansed for 7 months. And this is when the beginning, the construction of the Jewish third temple begins, and when the temple is built. So there's a lot of things kind of happening at the same time. So now when the two witnesses arrive, right, and the Lord revealed to them who they were and all this stuff. So in that vision, again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the video, there was a family member of mine who I was speaking with, who the Lord had revealed how old they were at the moment the tribulation period began, at the arrival of the two witnesses. So again, this person is alive and well today. So this person, now I'm not going to reveal their exact age and all that stuff, just because I have not talked to them or told them. I don't want any of that information. It's personal, you know. But what I can tell you is from the estimate of the age and how they appear to me, how much time that we have left, it is probably, I would probably say the best estimates, probably about within 8 to 12 years from now. 8 to 12 years is how much time between now and when things are going to occur. This is how old this person appeared to me. And about 8 to 12 years from now. So, is the rapture going to happen in 2024 based off of what I experienced and what I saw? No, I do not believe the rapture is going to happen this year or by the end of the year. I believe just as it was revealed, as I saw it, we have approximately probably 8 to 12 years left. There's some major things that have to happen. So if you take a step back and you look, right, all of the Gog and Magog pieces are all there. We have the BRICS alliance. We also know that there has to be a transitioning period to get from point A to point B. We know that there is one world government. They're led by one person. We know that there is a one world financial system, because it's what implements the mark of the beast. And we know that there is a third Jewish temple. So some things have to happen concerning the Temple Mount. And with the third temple being built, we know that the War of Gog and Magog takes place first, prior to the third temple being built. So something has to get us from here to here, from here to here, from A to B. And it's also important to note that the United States is not involved in the War of Gog and Magog that takes place over in Israel. Otherwise, the United States is Israel's greatest ally. And we were not there. We were not present to defend Israel. It was through God himself, supernaturally, who defends the nation. So there are two crucial events that have to happen. Something has to happen that takes the United States out of the picture. So I believe that is World War III. World War III will happen. An event, a major attack against the United States that launches World War III, that involves the United States, involves Russia and China and Iran. So these are the major players. World War III happens first. That World War III is so catastrophic that as a result, there are several things that happen. Number one, militarily, it depletes our military as a result of the actions. Economically speaking, the dollar collapses. The dollar collapses, the economy crashes. And so the United States is no longer this massive major superpower, no longer leading the Gentile nations and the Western allies. It puts Russia in charge, right? Russia and China rise as the main global leaders. And China, we know China is in prophecy, because through China, God uses China, the Chinese military, to come and bring the attack against Israel in the middle of the 3.5-year peace treaty, where the Antichrist breaks that treaty. So what happens is you have these armies, these massive armies coming out of the east from China that go through the river that is dried up, right? The Euphrates River. We talk about that, where the angels, the four angels are released. That is the moment where 3.5 years into the treaty is broken. It is China that breaks. So what happens there, the Antichrist confirms this covenant between the nations, not just the Middle East, but also concerning Russia and China. China is the one that ends up initiating this war. So I believe that World War III and Gog and Magog are very close. They touch each other. The timeline touches each other, and it leads from one thing right into the next. So they are almost the same thing, but not quite. Because I believe that World War III leads up to all these different events with the United States that play out several years will pass that lead. And as a result, these other superpowers rise to power, which sets the stage for the Gog and Magog War. So we know because of Russia's invasion into Ukraine, because of the horrific Biden policies, the sanctions against Russia has allowed for the rise of these other currencies, these other oil transactions, and the erosion of the U.S. dollar and the petrodollar system. So if you look at it, all the pieces are there. They're all there. Now, I have other videos, other prophetic dreams, revelations that were given to me that reveals this. It talks about Russia winning the war against Ukraine, and they don't just take half of Ukraine. They take the entire portion of the entire Ukraine. And this completely shifts the entire power struggle in Europe. It's Russia that takes over. And once Russia is asserted in this position, all the Persian nations form that alliance as Russia as this leader. Now, people want to debate it's Turkey. They want to debate it's Turkey or even Greece, Russia. Well, it's regardless, it's Russia that leads this. So we know because of the war that's happening now that all the pieces are in play. They are all there. Everything is there. The only thing, the last thing that we are waiting on, right, is the attack that comes from China against the northeastern parts of the United States. I talk about this concerning the Northeast Coast prophecies. You guys can go back and watch some of those videos. Some of the last couple of videos I just uploaded on our channel. Go back and watch that about the warnings that I put out. It's coming. So we know the transition period has to take place. As Jesus said, do not fear. You know, yet the wars, rumors of wars, all these things are going to happen. But not fear, do not panic. It's not the end yet. These things must take place first. So in other words, right, we know that the transition takes place. We get from point A to point B, that things just happen and take place. Now, according to what I saw, what I experienced, and what I understand in my theological perspective on the end times, and from what I experienced, the church is not destined to go through the tribulation period, although there will be thousands of churches left behind, thousands of Christians who are left behind, because they are not true believers in Jesus. They just aren't truly obedient. They do not worship the Lord in truth or in obedience. We see this with the elevation churches. We see this with all these mega super churches. They do not preach the gospel message. They do not preach Jesus. They do not preach repentance. They don't preach any of that stuff. And we know that according to the book of James, you know, that James tells us that our belief in God and our belief in Jesus is not enough to save us, because even the demons believe in God. Even the demons believe in Jesus. They all acknowledge who he is. So our belief in Jesus, just believing who he is, and he said, you know, is not enough. Our faith is what saves us. Our faith in Jesus alone. Now, I want to be really clear about this, because the Bible is clear that it is not works that saves us, okay? What we do, our righteous deeds, because there are no righteous deeds, that does not save us. Our faith alone in Christ is what saves us. And faith is an action verb, right? It's the Bible, the Greek term for faith actually means and translates to persuade. But in reaction and in actual reality, that word is a verb. It's what we do. It is how we put our faith into use. And so Jesus tells us that, you know, the Bible tells us that our faith will produce the fruit of our salvation. Our lives will produce the fruit of our faith, our faith in Christ. So our lives should be displaying the fruit and all the evidence that we are truly living out our faith. We are in full, complete obedience, right? We don't just believe in Jesus. We do what Jesus says. We are obedient to his word, to his commands. Now, does this mean that we don't from time to time have sin and we don't veer off the course? Hey, does not necessarily take you out of the picture. You know, we are. The Bible tells us that the process, the sanctification process, happens over time and is not completed until the very last moment where we are all unified together as one body. So the maturity in Christ does not happen until the end. So that being said, you don't have to be afraid that, hey, I messed up today, I'm going to get left behind. That's not what it says. But Jesus did tell us, you know, he says that if you love me, you will be obey me. You will do what I tell you to do. You will obey my sheep, hear my voice. They listen to me. They believe me. They obey me. So we have to be obedient. We have to live actively repentant lives. Our lives should be governed by the Holy Spirit. We should be governed by the law of Christ that abides in us. And that is what seals us with God in all eternity. So if your life, if you profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, but yet you're living a double-edged life, you're not living out God's word, then perhaps you may are not even saved in the very first place. I believe once saved, always saved. However, your life will display that. So if you are out there doing horrific things and yet you're still going to church, you might question the very ideal of your salvation. Have you truly given your life over to Jesus? Have you really submitted to Christ? If you're holding on to certain aspects in your life, and you have not completely surrendered that, you're still living this certain way, you haven't fully surrendered to Christ, are you truly saved? We have to completely, fully surrender to Him. And that's the greatest threat, but also the greatest hope of it all. And that's why I talk about the remnant church, because it's not as many as you would think. It's not as many as you think would happen. It's not millions. You know, it's not like that. It's a very, very small number. As Jesus said, the way is very narrow, very, very narrow. Very few enter into it. So he said it was easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for someone to believe, to come into saving knowledge of Jesus, to enter through that gate. So it's not just our belief in Jesus. It is also our faith in Christ. That faith activates us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit to live out that life, to minister to others, to love others, in despite of all of the circumstances. Now, I do believe because of the things that are coming, we will experience a level of tribulation. Not the tribulation, but we will experience levels of tribulation and persecution, just like the early church did. Just like Christians experience all over the world are persecuted for their faith. Just like how we experienced in 2020. So there are different levels and intensities of persecution coming upon the earth against the church and the Christians. Jesus called this the refining fire, right? In his message to the seven churches. A refining process, a refining fire to get us ready and prepared for that last imminent moment where we do go, where the books are finally closed, and that is it. So we are living in a very, very short, small window period of grace, and there is not very much time at all left. You think how much time can pass by, a lot can happen in 8 to 12 years, maybe even 6 years, guys. We are this close, right? There are still a few other things that need to happen, but in reality, the rapture can happen at any given time and moment. So, guys, I hope that answers some of your questions. And really puts an urgency in us to live very intentional and purpose-driven lives, to really be more mindful about how we live, about what we say, even the things that we aren't saying that we probably should be, even about the things that we aren't doing that we probably should be doing. You know, we really need to get out there, get more intention. So just, you know, moving forward, I would encourage you guys to pray and ask the Lord to show you and reveal the areas in your life that really need to work, that you need to surrender over to Him. The areas in your life where perhaps you're holding back. Perhaps there's areas in your life where you're not really thoroughly ministering in the levels that you could be doing, or supporting churches or ministries that are actually really walking the walk, you know. So there is so much more to it, a lot more that we have to do. There's still things to do that we have to do that are left to be done. So it's not completely over yet. There's still hope. There's still time. But do not take advantage of it. Don't take it for granted. Get intentional and just look around you and realize we are here. We are literally, just as Jesus said, He is literally right at the door. So, guys, that's going to conclude it. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to reach out to me, email, or leave a comment below. If you have any questions or concerns, just ask. I read through everything, and I do take the time to respond. Now, all that being said, as always, guys, stay encouraged. Keep running your race. Keep, because it is a race. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. And whatever you do, do not give up. Never, ever give up, and do not lose hope.